Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney the Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, we have had a real struggle in the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan. Nobody in their right mind will believe what is happening today. We have a lawyer, a judge, prosecutors to continue work against the residents of Benton Harbor, Michigan. They have one motive, that is to destroy black people that live inside the city of Benton Harbor or in the surrounding areas. They do not care. They do not care about the people. They're being paid by the people, but they do not care about the people. Amazing. Who would believe what is happening today? Who will believe what is going on today in the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan? Whirlpool Corporation have attacked the city of Benton Harbor, almost destroyed it, almost, not quite. There are still some people breathing in the city of Benton Harbor. They like to control whoever is mayor of the city. They want you to do what they want you to do, as long as it is not right for the people. They would do anything. I use that word, anything, to destroy black people. And most black people accept it. We got a lot of black Trumpers here. We got a guy who's running for mayor, Marcus Muhammad, my former friend. But I cannot be friends with anyone who is a sellout. I can't do it. Anytime you're willing to sell out this community to the evil empire, I cannot associate with you. This guy thought he had it made in the sun. He thought that he could do whatever he wanted to do, as long as he was helping the evil empire. He thought that he can go out here and not clean up our city, but clean up areas where Whirlpool Corporation might be, but he was dead wrong. They're attacking our school system. They are trying to close down the only high school in Benton Harbor, Michigan, the evil empire. They have put together what they call a separate board to oversee the school board, which nobody, well, let me change that. I think it's three people on that board out of 10 that's from the Benton Harbor, and maybe one or two that went to Benton Harbor High School. They even got a guy from the governor's office, a woman from the governor's office on that board, who has no connection with the city of Benton Harbor. None. They have 640 acres of land, Benton Harbor High School, and the evil empire want that land. They do not care how they get it. if you are in their way, they would even kill you to get the land. Because black people are expendable. 12 bodies have been found in the lake. One guy was even with his penis cut off. His braid was cut off. But they ruled, the power to be, the evil empire ruled that there was no foul play. It's obvious a shark has came up and cut his penis off. You see, when a black man dies, most of the time nobody really cares. Their family care for a little while, because black people usually run fast, but they don't run long. And that's their history. They run fast, but they don't run long. Most of the time, they only care about stuff that affects them and right directly. Sometimes they don't even care if it affects their family. Some say that's a slave mentality, but that's the way that we've been taught for years, this selfishness, you see. And that's how they keep us divided up. They don't want to educate us, our children anymore. They don't have to. And they know that. They're claiming that there's too many people on earth. They're claiming that. They're claiming all these things and want people to buy into it. They really, if you sit down and think about it, they're intimidating us. They wouldn't mind having a civil war here in the United States. Because one thing, black people have guns, but they don't have ammunition. They use the ammunition up on themselves, on the community. They use their ammunition up. I was telling this guy the other day, I said, everybody in the city got a gun, but everybody don't have ammunition. They can fire 4 or 5 shots and it's over. Then they have to surrender or be shot down. We're hidden for this war. So those of you who are out there, you better brace yourself because it's coming. We're dealing with a group of people that hate black folks. They hate Mexicans too, but the Mexicans is not going to fight with the blacks against the whites. They're not going to do that. You might find a few, but the large number is going to stand with them white folks. You see, that's a fact. And, you know, I was shocked because I could not believe at this stage with what they're doing to the Mexican would stand with white folks over black folks. But that's what they do. Black people are hated by every, including themselves. Most black people hate themselves for no reason. Because they didn't, they know their strength is in numbers. We got the numbers. We're 50 million strong. But we better start saving our bullets. Because if we don't save our bullets, when the Civil War begins, we will not have a bullet in our pistol to shoot. And that would be unfortunate. But that's the way it is. They don't mind us killing each other. 28 killed, 54 shot in Chicago, 8 killed. They don't care about that. As long as y'all, you know, as long as black folk killing each other, they don't care nothing about that. That's what they do. They put us in this position so we can kill each other. And then when the Civil War starts, we won't have enough bullets to fight. Huh. That's unfortunate. But it's a fact. Why would we waste our bullets on each other? Why? When we should be standing with each other. On that note, I want to bring in my good friend, Lee. This is your opportunity to tell the world about what's going on with you. Because
hey, how you doing?
A lot of times, people don't understand what is happening with this system, how they mistreat us, how they destroy us. You know, when you get arrested, 9 out of 10 times, they really don't have the evidence to convict you. But they scare you into pleading to something. That's why I go in court watch over here in Barron County, and I try to teach them to stand up for what's right. But now, my good friend Lee, I want you to tell your story to the people. People are listening. I'm doing great, Lee. What about yourself?
Well, you know, I'm still fighting the demons. You know, they constantly trying to build them up stronger against me. You know, and I think really what they're more afraid of than anything that I'm willing to fight.
Yeah.
What I'm learning is they don't like nobody that's willing to sacrifice to go all the way. You know, I'm in federal court. They told me, they tried to offer me 10 years. Then they went down to 3 years. And I'm like, no, this was a setup. I know it was a setup. I'm not going to plead guilty on this. Now, what they're spooked of is the fact that all their witnesses is not credible. Here it is, you got all these people who are into a drug trafficking ring decides to say, well, you know what, anybody we don't like, we're going to go ahead and set him up with the police. I come to find out one person who happens to have been living with me, this person got like multiple names. They just happen to have been, and I've just been going through, I've been looking up names and looking up alias names, and I realized, like, hold on, how is you going to be somebody out here in Detroit, Michigan, working for the police when under another name, a federal magistrate says, you're not even credible or reliable. You're not even trustworthy. But they brought that person to Detroit, Michigan under a whole new identity and setting everybody up.
Wow.
Now, this same person come to find out has from what I'm reading from the federal court papers was this person had a probation violation in South Carolina, pending charges in Nevada. This person was charged, this is a female now, was charged with sex trafficking crime involving a minor and an act of terrorism. This is all the charges this person had on. And I'm like, so this person, how is this person going to come to Detroit, Michigan under a whole new identity and setting people up, and they're allowing this to go on? You know, and then the main ring leader behind the whole situation is people have called me and was like, man, what is going on? He just killed another guy. I'm like, what you mean he just killed another guy? He was like, man, I seen the video from one of his friend's house. And he was like, man, bro, I seen the video. They had on ski masks, but you know his body style and his structure. And it was all over his baby mama. He said, but now we looking deeper into it. He knew something about the other boy, Ashton, that was killed by this same group of people. And it's like, I'm like, hold on. So how many, you telling me this guy out here just killing up everybody? And the government ain't doing nothing about this? And I heard this from multiple people. That's why I told you, I said, I go to court Tuesday. I don't know if they might try to snatch me up or whatever. That's why I said, I need to be able to send you a flash drive, because the flash drive is going to show you every single thing, how I made it. I mean, I actually crossed every T and dotted every I and showed the connection of this whole group. And I even got recorded phone conversations from other people telling me flat out, like, hey, listen, man, he done shot my cousin after robbing him, shot him twice in the chest, And he just killed my nephew. And then another guy called me, and that's when he the one that described him on the video. I said, did you see the video? He said, yeah, I actually seen the video, bro. And yeah, that was them. They killed that boy. Nah.
Wow.
We're talking about a guy that got about, no exaggeration, no exaggeration, I'm talking about what I know for a fact, at least a 10 to 11 count body count out here.
Mm.
And as long as he's continued to clearly to do what they asked him to do, it's okay.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
This guy done even killed people while he was drag racing.
Mm.
And then killed an innocent man on West Jefferson in Detroit. And it's like, how is it that all these guys able to sell drugs? They in Toledo, Ohio. They in West Virginia. You know, they had their main house in Toledo. And this is crazy because the community, like, listen, man, why don't you do something? I said, what really can I do, man? And you know what I'm saying? They was like, bro, it's crazy because you will be surprised how many people is like, you need to send this to the news, man. There is no way. We all your witnesses. We know. This guy even selling guns to people's. Different people, that, groups that's warring, having street wars with each other. He's selling them illegal firearms. And I actually have witnesses, courted phone calls, everything that's leading to all of this. And I'm like, but they can sit here and allow this guy to continue to just throw people under the bus? And he got this, all of this on him, him and a bunch of females out here. I'm like, damn, he technically, ain't this a RICO case on them? I say, why is it that they can do all of what they're doing? And, you know, but, of course, they don't care. You know, it's okay. Let him continue doing what he's doing. You know, you ain't gonna work with us. You ain't going to be a CI for us. So guess what? We don't care what he's doing. And that's pretty much what it is. I'm like, man, I'm not finna do that. I'm not finna be no slave catcher for y'all. That ain't my character right there. I fight against that type of stuff. Well, we ain't finna do nothing. I didn't. One of the guy that was murdered, they done brutally beat him, shot him multiple times, stuffed him in the trunk of a car and everything. And his auntie is a federal government employee. But do you think they care about that? Nope, because it's all blacks. It's blacks killing blacks. So why should we care?
Yeah.
You know, maybe when he kill a white person, then we'll step in and do something. You know what I'm saying? And I don't even look at it like that on a racial level, but the fact of it is clearly that's what they're doing. Well, hell, he ain't killed nobody white. Even though he just shot up the chief of police house for River Ridge. Okay. She was a black woman. The very first chief of police, you can look this up, 2016, Deborah Hayes Price. Her house got shot up. And I'm sitting here looking like, I mean, it don't take a rocket scientist to do the ballistics. You can see all the rounds came from this guy, in front of this guy's house. He lived diagonal corner from her. He was trying to kill another guy. He done shot this lady's house up. She's the chief of police, but she was a black chief of police.
Mm.
So I guess... Oh, well, that ain't our problem. And he's like, well, that's River Ridge. That ain't. It happened in Detroit. She was at her house that she owned in Detroit, Michigan, and this is where it all happened at. But, I mean, it's sad, you know. You got all these people that's involved in this, everybody within their circle that's involved in this. I mean, they're putting it, they even had the audacity to put it on Facebook. You know, and talk about the murders.
Oh, wow.
You know, they even, yeah, they, I don't got guys that flat out told me, like, you know what, yeah, bro, they put it all on Facebook, and that's how we all know what's going on. Mm. It ain't no secret as to what's going on. We all know what's going on. But they don't care, man. It seems like, you know, I mean, where do we go from here?
Wow.
Come on,
let me ask you a question. You go to court Tuesday. What are you expecting to happen on Tuesday?
I'm going to be honest. I'm going for the probable cause. This is something that I've been asking for a long time because they try to say, well, our probable cause was a CI made a control buy from him and bought some crack. I'm like, that's a bunch of baloney, man. I say, they said that I was in my Hummer at the time. I say, my Hummer was in the shop. I was driving my Silverado on that day. So how was it that I pulled up? But see, I remember the day, and the day was, it was the same girl I'm telling you about that they did, the federal magistrate said was not credible. She came to the house. She came talk to me. Hey, what's going on? How you doing? I'm like, I'm chilling. You know, we talked for a minute. She left out the back. She playing with my dogs and everything. She's like, well, look, I'm going to be back over later on, but right now I got, you know, my family having a cookout, and I'm going to go over there with them real quick, and I'll come back with you, okay? I'm like, okay. So I remember the day like yesterday, the exact day they're talking about. I remember it like yesterday. And I'm like, hold on. When I got to reading through the paperwork, once I got a hold of the discovery, I'm like, this is all false. Like I said, one time they said in May that I went to my brother's house and sold him some drugs. I'm like, well, how is that possible? If my brother was on a federal GPS tether, one, two, he was federally court ordered not to even be at his wife's house no more, and he was at work. So who was I selling drugs to? An imaginary person? You know, I'm like, this is a total lie right here. If this man was at work and did a tether, and his wife was like, oh, that's some bull crap. I'll come testify on your behalf because you was not at my house. I said, I know this, Tish. She was like, you was never at my house. That's a lie. I was like, I know this. You know this. But look at what they wrote in this paperwork. And what I don't think that they thought I was going to go in, plead guilty, and just roll over. They didn't expect me to put up a fight. That's what they didn't do. They didn't expect it. They thought, okay, he'll just lay down. My brother did it. And when I talked to my sister, the judge told my brother, are you sure you want to plead guilty? Because you know, this is the words that my sister said, the judge said, to say, you know, everybody that's got to come in that said something about you, they have to come back to court and say it again. So are you sure you want to plead guilty? He's like, man, I just want to get it over with, man. I'm not even trying to put up no fight. I just want to hurry up. I just want to do my time and come back to my daughter and this and that. I was like, dude, you was retarded. Well, I ain't got time. But I say, you know what? Me, I fight. Maybe it's because of my daddy. You know, we ain't got the same daddy or something, I guess, because I don't know what's going on with your old dude. But my old dude was a fighter. So we got him grabbed his side. I'm not, you ain't finna come tell me that I sold somebody some stuff. How can I sell 3 grams of crack to a guy that's selling kilos of crack out here? How is that possible? So this girl done pretty much done told a lie. They done gave her some drugs and said, yeah, we gonna say you made this purchase. And then they've been following me around because I asked for a trial. Ever since I asked for a trial, they've been trying to set me up. No, they've been trying to set me up. They've been trying to frame me. That's why I told you, when I'm leaving out of Wayne County to go to work, keep in mind, I work in Wayne County in Detroit, living in Detroit, and I'm working over there on the east side of Detroit at the time. But in order to get to work and avoid them, I had to go up into Southfield, which is Oakland County, drive all the way down 9 or 10 miles to get into Macomb County just to come back up mound to jump back into Wayne County just to go to work instead of what I would normally do, which is go straight up 7 miles.
Wow, that's amazing.
So I had to do a complete loop around just to avoid them, the police. And it's like, why is all of this? And it kept bothering me. Why is it that they going so hard on me? And all I asked for was a trial. What's the issue with that?
Well, but then I got the dick trial. That's right.
Exactly.
They expect black folks to plead guilty.
And that's what they wanted me to do.
And they always give try to give you they say a big number. You can get up to life. You can get 10 years. You can do this and all that. In the state of Michigan, they have like a scoring thing. And you gotta fall within that scoring thing in order for them to give you a whole lot of that, even though they still can. But you gotta fall
right
between. Look, you got about 4 minutes. I want you to tell people right now what you want them to know and how they can help you, because to me that's the most important thing. These, you know, I spoke earlier during the first part of the show, telling people. You know, I know how we act. If it don't concern our family, and even when it concerns our family, we saw most of the time we don't care. And what they do, we got to learn to stand together. Your fight is my fight, you see. And that's what we need to get into. Lee, I got to tell you, but you got about 3 minutes. Tell us how we can help you, how the people can help you. And we got a full load today. So these people out there, they missed you when you was on before and you told the story, and they want to know also what happened to you. So what I want you to know, tell these people how they can help you right now. That's what I want to hear.
I need as much exposure on this as possible, especially in Southeast Michigan, because the Eastern District of Michigan is where they're going to pick the jury from. And this, like I say, this whole thing is a corrupt show. You know, they're trying to constantly set me up. I'm coming to find out they're trying to even say that I'm set a vehicle on fire. Well, that's dumb. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to, and it's I'm going to be honest, it's a dangerous game because the police is trying to cover their tracks. And you know that can be very dangerous because
absolutely
they don't want what I know to come out to the open. And I'm going to be honest, every day I don't even want my son with me because I don't know if somebody's going to try to pull up on me and try to shoot my car up. I'm just being honest with you, man. I don't. So, but I'm going to fight. They're not going to scare me into pleading guilty. So and all I need is as much exposure. I got an attorney on the case. You know, he's pretty good. He's finally listening to me more than before. So it's really, I just need as much exposure on this because other than that, I see they're trying to railroad me and because they know I'm not buckling down. You know, I don't know how to do that. Mm. You know, when you guys didn't hear from me, a lot of times when I get to really studying and by the time I remember what time the show come on, I lost track of the time. And I'd be like, man, you know, because I was just researching. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I don't got a whole half of my beard done got gray off of this.
Wow. I can imagine, you know. And that's part of their job, to intimidate you. And they want to intimidate you into pleading guilty because they know that they don't have the evidence to support what they're trying to do. So that's crucial, my brother. But look, I want you to let me give you my address that you can send that information that we talked about earlier. You got a pencil?
Yes, I got one right here.
The address is 19.
40.
Union Street.
Union Street.
Benton
okay.
Harbor. Benton Harbor, Michigan. 49022.
Mm-hmm. You say 49?
Yeah, 49022.
Okay. Listen,
when you get out of court, I want you to make sure you call me so I know what's going on with you. And I want to make sure because I really think you got them and they kind of know that, but they want you to go to prison. Trust me. That's all they care about.
And that's exactly what it is right there.
Yeah. They don't mind sending a black person to prison. They don't mind. They don't care about no evidence. They don't care about nothing. Only thing they care about, locking you up. And most of the time, they are successful at locking my brothers and sisters up. And they can keep you in there for a very, very long time, you know, have all the tools, you see. And what we got to do, we got to learn to stand together. Until we learn to stand together, it's going to continue just like it is. These folks are for real. They don't mind us killing each other because they know eventually we're going to run out of bullets. It's just a matter of time. We are going to run out of bullets because every time you look up, 45 people in Chicago shot, 8 killed. You go to even in Detroit, you know, you get 9, 10 people shot, and you know, 4, 5 killed. You go all over. You know, and that's what you discover. Oakland, California, all over Los Angeles. This stuff is happening all over the country. I'm telling my black brothers and sisters today, save your ammunition. I'm telling you, this is a warning coming from me. These folks are for real. And they know what they're going to do. Well, look, I got to let you go there. I got to bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. I got to bring her in, and she's fighting a battle. She's trying to get people out of prison. And we talking about a lot of folks. And she's been working extremely hard, and she understands the formality that, you know, all my black brothers and sisters, they don't really care. Once again, unless it's their family. And even then, they don't care. So we got an uphill battle when we try to help people. When you try to help people, you see, it's an uphill battle just trying to help them. See, I need somebody to help me to help you help yourself.
That is true.
You can't do it no other way. So we're fighting a war, and we're in a war, but we're just not fighting a war. Let's put it that way. We're at war today with each other rather than with the real enemy. These people are real. They got all kind of tools. They got prison. They got everything, all the tools they need to divide and conquer. And we won't even open our mouth. But Delia, I got to let you go. And I really appreciate you. You make sure you call me and let me know what's happening so I don't have to worry about you. Take care of your business, and I will talk to you very, very soon. Thank you so much for being on the show. My brother. All right now. That was my good friend Lee. I tell you, he's in an uphill battle in the city of Detroit, and they got us surrounded. We are in a fight and don't even know that we're in a war, that we're fighting. You know, we keep shooting up each other, and we think it's all right. We think it's cool. You know, somebody, a black guy step on your toes, you're ready to kill him. A white man got his foot all up your butt, and you ain't saying a mumbling word. That's the world we live in today. But listen, I got to bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. The one and only. Yes, the one and only. Belinda Parker Brown. Belinda Parker Brown.
Hey, Pastor Pickney.
Talk to me.
All right, Pastor Pickney. The young man that you just had on by the name of Lee, I was listening carefully, and I'm very interested. There's something that I see that's happening in his situation. So I need to reach out to him. One of the things that I am concerned about is the information that he says that he has that, you know, I think he said he's going to be sending you a copy of the flash drive. Mm-hmm. I want to say this because it's so important that the research is authenticated, you know, if there's any facts that need to be verified. And also, you know, connecting all of the dots, you know, it's so important that, you know, when you're dealing with these type of situations and they want to cover up, you know, that's the key word, cover up, then you got to make sure that you have done, you know, your homework or your assignment in connecting all of the dots. So that nothing will slip through the cracks, okay? And one of the ways that we have been very successful is, you know, connecting the dots, is that a lot of times what we have to do is go into their, you know, their laws, their database, you know, hire private investigators that have, you know, access to that information, you know, so that it can be unrefutable, okay? So, you know, when he say that there's some certain things that he, you know, can bring out that they really don't want somebody, you know, they don't want the public to know, then I'm very interested in that because, see, that is what's going to crack the code on what's happening in our criminal justice system across the country, Pastor Pinckney. We have to have that information because we want the whole world to know that our criminal justice system is a disgrace and it's a disaster. And I really believe strongly that we're in a time where the eyes of the people have came open, okay? And the judges and the court system is being exposed like the veil have been lifted. So they're very vulnerable now. And also along with our legislators, you know, our, you know, elected officials, you know, our representatives, you know, from you know, Washington, D.C. on down. Okay? So it's going to be very significant and very important that he get some heavy hitters and some power players, you know, with this information, you know, in Congress. You know, I don't care, you know, it has to be spread abroad right now, even in, you know, in and outside of the country. It has to be spread abroad because it sounds like to me that, you know, he has some very credible information that can crack the code or else be a kick in the door to what these people have been doing and trying to cover up and get away with. So it's time for us to use that information against them, Pastor Pinckney, and we have to do that on a strong, united front on a, you know, what you're saying, that we, you know, we have to come together and stand up and support this young man in his endeavor because the last thing they want to see is the sheets coming off of them. They don't want that. They don't want to be exposed. And that's the time that we're living in. Everything that's being done in the dark that they've been getting away with for decades is coming to the light. And it's through situations and cases like his. So I wanted to say that. And if you have any contact information, I would love to get him on the phone with some of my friends out in Montana, you know, down here in Louisiana, also in Washington, D.C., and in Los Angeles and New York, you know, some of these heavy hitters that can really pick his situation apart, because if we don't stick together on this, then that's how they get away with this, okay? So thank you very much for allowing me the opportunity to share a little bit about that. You know, I'm very interested in what this young man's situation. I was happy to hear about the fact that he's in federal court versus any state courts. Okay. Absolutely. You know, he do have a really good chance in the federal court, but in the federal court, everything needs to become unveiled. You know, it needs to become unveiled. And the only way he's going to be able to do that is making sure that he have all of his I's dotted and T's crossed, and he got that information spread abroad that they don't want the public to know about what they're trying to cover up. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the things, how is Mr. Victor and his wife doing? How are they doing?
Oh, Pastor Pinckney. I know. Right now it's hot and burning. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have found a bombshell in regards to Pastor Victor's case. So it just very well may be a merry, merry Christmas and a happy, happy, happy New Year.
So I'm
limited to where I can start with that because I'm gonna tell you right now, when you, okay, what they call it is the fix, And when they say the fix is in, okay, they didn't set themselves up to win, okay? But when we come in, that's one of the things that my organization does. You know, we do, okay? I want to say it like that. This is what we do. We unravel their fix, okay? And we lay everything out into the buck naked, you know, the buck naked exposure, okay? Everything is uncovered, you know. Unless no one comes, everything get uncovered, then they get away with it, Pastor Pinckney. But, oh, my goodness, have we not found the bombshell in Pastor Victor's case that is going to free him and his wife both, and it ain't nothing they can do about it. You got that, Pastor Pinckney? Just remember, you heard that from me. I said it ain't nothing they can do about it, okay, because the rabbit got the gun now. I said the rabbit got the gun, and we is loaded with ammunition.
All right. That's what I
want to
hear.
Man, we got so much ammunition right now. We got fake truckloads of ammunition. You hear me? Okay. The rabbit got the gun, Pastor Pinckney. And like I said, that's all I can say about that right now. We got a conference call coming up tomorrow at noon. And we're really trying to strategize on how we want to deal with this, because of the fact that, you know, it's an opportunity to help thousands and thousands of other people all at the same time, okay? And you know that is my passion. That is my number one quest, is to free thousands of people that have been wrongfully incarcerated all at once. All right. So what we're working on now, and this is where I really need your help to come in at, is that, you know, the fact that people have to unite. We're trying to show people the power of unity and sticking together on our quest, because if we get everybody we have vetted over 2,000 cases. If we get all of these people to stick together on a $3 billion lawsuit, chances are we would get them all free at one time, because now we're going to have some negotiation leveraging that we can work with on getting everybody free, okay? Now, we got the naysayers out there, okay? But like I said, Pastor Pinckney, I've been trained by the best. You know, you train me. You know, I'm telling you, It ain't nothing gonna slip through the cracks, because you train me very well, okay, on how these people are. Now, you know that for a fact. You told me and you trained me and you mentored me to know how these people are. I'm talking about, you know, our people versus them people, okay? You know,
that's
so
right.
You taught me both sides. You taught me so well, Pastor Pinckney, okay? Until sometime I had to take two steps back and wonder, you know, and wonder about the fact that what you were saying, how powerful and how true it really is. So there it is. I have to know right now how we are going to, and we're in the process of strategizing on how we're going to be able to help, you know, people that look like us. There we go, all right, because some of them could be the worst ones in the world to deal with, okay? I believe that, and I just want to say this for our listeners, I believe that it was our own people that got, you know, some of our forefathers, some of our, you know, top civil rights leaders assassinated, okay, because it was them operating in fear, okay, and selfishness, all right? You hear me, Pastor Pinckney? Those are our two worst enemies, is selfishness and fear, okay, in our own people, okay? Because, like I tell them, if you're scared, stay away from me, all
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And if you're worried about what they going to do, oh, they doing this, they doing that, oh, they can't do that, that ain't right, look what they doing. All that whining and crying, like I told you, if you whining and crying and you're scared, go hide yourself in the church. You know, join the choir, sit on the back row, wherever. Get away from me.
That's right. Say it, girl. Say it. And if you're that scared, go and call the police. They'll come out and shoot you.
So all they got to do is call them. call them now, and they come and they're going to shoot you in your own house.
They're going to shoot you. And don't have the dope crack, you know. If you got the dope crack, they're coming in. And yes, indeed. They got equipment to knock the dough down. You know what, Belinda, what you were saying is so amazing, because we wonder why our people are just this way. I mean, in most of the time, they're not going to get involved unless it affects them directly. If it affects them directly, then they want you to drop everything you're doing. I don't care what it is. You know, someone could die in your family. They want you not to go to a funeral, but go out and help them. This is how they act. But they won't even go across the street to come to a meeting. They won't come across the street just to protest for somebody else. Their neighbor house could be on fire. They won't even put the fire out.
You're absolutely right. And even worse than that, Pastor Pickney, you know, right now they can be drowning and you hit them in the head with the hammer to save them, and then they get out and jump on you and say, what you hit me in the head for, okay?
Right.
So that's just how crucial, I mean, how, you know, I want to say, my kids say, Mama, it's called black people fun. It's called black people fun derogatory. They say, Mama, I don't know if you're saying that word right, but they want to be so negative about getting help for themselves until, you know, all of that doubt, unbelief, and you know, running around talking about the blood of Jesus, and they full of chicken blood. Okay, because they running scared. But, you know, I just got, you know, we did this little animation where we got this rabbit with a big old long shotgun, double barrel shotgun, okay? and a big old ton of ammunition sitting there for him to reload against them, okay? And when I say the rabbit got the gun in this one, Pastor Pickney, the rabbit got the gun, because the whole world gonna see what it looked like when people unite and stand together and come together, okay, to get something done. They're going to see it, Pastor Pickney, and the model is going to be right here in the state of Louisiana, that was known for having more people incarcerated than anywhere else in the world. We was known as the number one corrupt country in the state. We was known for these things. We was known to set a person up, okay, under a racist, unconstitutional Jim Crow law, put them in prison and make slaves out of them. We was known for that, Pastor Pickney. So why not be known, okay, for the whole world to see what happened when all of this stuff is exposed, okay, to the world, and then we get justice, liberation, reparation, okay, freedom for all of these people. You know, why not that? And that's where we're going with this. We want to give the whole world hope, to let the world see that the sheets is everything, is everything that's been in the dark is coming to the light now, Pastor Pickney, about how corrupt, you know, how, you know, the police department has been infiltrated, or, you know, I don't want to say infiltrated, but what they have did was come in and they have infiltrated, okay, the Ku Klux Klan, the racist, you know, Ku Klux Klan, the Grand Wizards of the Ku Klux Klan, all right? You remember when they had that rally and basically roped off Barron County Jail with a whole bunch of white sheets? You remember that, Pastor Pickett? They put the white sheets up on the fence and closed theyself in. You know, that was a terrible sight, okay? So what we're saying now is that they have infiltrated our law enforcement. They have infiltrated our court system. They have infiltrated, you know, everything that our elected officials, our government. And what we're saying is that now is the time for us to come together, okay, and let them know that we know that our eyes have came open, all right, to a lot of these attorneys. I'm going to tell you right now, the people listening, Pastor Pinckney, you know for a fact, they need to know. You cannot trust your lawyers. You better vet them. You better make sure that your lawyer is there on your behalf. Because that's the worst thing in the world, is for you to think that your lawyer is for you, and all the time he in the back room making deals against you. Okay? That's how we got a lot of people pleading guilty and taking pleas to stuff that they didn't do because their lawyer was kicking them under the bus. Their lawyers was selling them out. That's the reason why it's a bad taste in the people's mouth right now. It is a discontent with our leadership, with people that we pay to represent us, with people that we elect in office to serve and protect us, okay? Because they've been selling us out, our preachers, all right, been selling us out. And all of that is being exposed now because people are fed up. They're saying they're not going to tolerate it no more.
Amen.
Hello?
Hey, I agree 100%. You know what I'm saying? Well, listen, wow, this has been amazing. But, you know, I might have some good news for you also. We're out here campaigning for Ron Singleton for mayor. And at first I thought he didn't have a chance in the world, you see, because he's more of a guy of integrity than anything else, and he's not going to bash Marcus. He knows when Marcus is lying, he normally take the high road. He might say there's a cloud over this or a cloud over that, but he's a guy. At first I said he didn't have a chance in the world, but I've been out here working for him, and now it looks like he might have an advantage to win this thing on Tuesday. And them young folks, they're going to come out for Marcus. You see, they I call them black Trump-like supporters, because Marcus could go out here and shoot somebody in broad daylight, and these kids going to still go out and vote for him. But the older folks, they're not going to tolerate it. So that's where we're going to win this thing at, because they know who this guy is. They know that he's a slime ball. They know this. But it looks pretty good. I tell you, if the race ended today, Marcus Muhammad would no longer be the mayor of Benton Harbor. But we got Tuesday to go, so anything can happen. But we're ready and we're fired up, and we know what we got to do. I'm just hoping that all the chips fall the way they're supposed to fall and bring victory. And, you know, the good news about that, you know, you had spoke on Marcus years ago. You said, you said this, and I got to tell you this. You said Marcus is no good. When you said Marcus wasn't no good, he's not who you think he is. And I said, well, you know, he showed me a different side of him, just like he shows Minister Farrakhan a different side of him. And the minister, he's older now. If he was younger, he probably would have picked up on it. But this guy, he's out there lying to people. He was on the radio the other day. He made the statement that Cornerstone Alliance got this $130,000 from the city of Benton Harbor. And what they did, they told the city of Benton Harbor, we're going to do whatever we want with this money, whether you like it or not. So they asked for the money back. You know, they had enough folks to ask for it back. So, you know, before they would never ask Cornerstone Lions for no money back, because them white gangsters, they would probably try to close the city down. So Marcus got on the radio and told all the people that he knows that they gave him the check, $130,000, and he took it to the city manager. And knowing he was lying, he was lying. And But then with this, some of the supportive young guys, you put on Facebook, yeah, where he was like, oh, he didn't say that. He didn't say he took it back. Yes, he did. We had a recording. It's going to be played on the radio tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And it's going to tell you exactly what he said. With all you, all the folks from Benton Harbor that's listening to this program right now, tune in tomorrow at 1 o'clock to 105.3, and you will hear this lying mayor talk. Because he's a liar and everything else. The water, he knew the water was bad. But what he said, what he told the people, the water was drinkable. And the Michigan DEQ had sent him a letter telling them that the water was undrinkable. It was contaminated. Do not allow the people to drink the water. He has a press conference and tell the people the water was good, was great. And he had a letter in his hand telling people that said that the water was bad. But these folks, black folks is funny folks, man. They, one guy said that he been drinking this water for over 30 years, and ain't nothing wrong with him. And we came to the conclusion that was the lead talking. That wasn't him. We should let me speak to you, because that ain't you talking. That's lead talking to you. That lead can kill your man.
Right. But Pastor Pickman, I want to say this, real quick, and I know we're running out of time, but you are absolutely right. I know Marcus coming out of the gate because, I worked with Marcus at the high school. I don't know if you ever knew that, but he was one of my core workers at Benton Harbor High School, okay? So, I would never say anything about somebody that's not true, okay?
Yeah.
And I got to know Marcus from being working with him at the Benton Harbor High School, okay? So my thing is that when he sat at your table right across from the minister, the Honorable Minister Faircon, okay, and Minister Faircon looked him in the eyes right in front of you in your kitchen, at your kitchen table, at your dining table, and he asked Marcus that question. Marcus lied.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now we know that everything that he sat there and lied to the minister, Honorable Minister Faircon, about is coming back to bite him, Pastor Pickney. He may have, because that's why I wanted to let you know that he wasn't, I was there. I was there, right there at the table. That's the reason why we wanted the Minister Faircon to ask him that question in the first place, because Minister Faircon was asking you to support Marcus if he ran for mayor. And you gave the minister your word that you would support him if he was telling the truth. But he was lying, Pastor Pickney, because I knew all along that he was a part of the plot to, for the whirlpool to take the city of Benton Harbor over. He was a part of that plot.
Mm.
Way before you even knew who he was.
Yeah. Amen.
Right along with a whole bunch of other ones that I can name.
Absolutely. Tuesday is the day of truth. So we got to be ready with that. He also got Kim Thompson, the clerk, working with him against the people to get him reelected. We have already saw her do some shady things too. And,
right, that's what you
got to
watch.
We on top of it though.
I want you to definitely call me back with some good news, and I also want to know, I want to let you know, Pastor Pickney, whatever you do, by all means, watch the count on those votes, because the votes can be compromised, and that's happening all over the country right now. They are compromising those votes. They are cheating with those machines, and it's not right what they're doing. Okay,
especially the
ballots, the early voting count, and also the absentee ballots. They are cheating with that stuff. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got to have somebody there to watch the count. You know, don't let them, just don't give that over to them and let somebody be in there on behalf of Ron Singleton, you know, representing him for the counts, you know, making sure that those numbers are matching up, you know, before and after the election. All of that stuff needs to be watched very carefully.
And we will. But listen, we have just ran out of time. I will be calling you Tuesday with the good news, and we will talk very, very soon. Thank you so much for being on. And I'm going to hook up Mr. Lee with you so y'all can talk and exchange a few ideas and see how we can help that young man. But on that note,
all right.
We have just ran out